It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance and body slammed his way into immortality?
Yo, police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
Yo, police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul LaVoy.
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
All right, ready or not, here we come. Tuesday, March 31st, 2026. Very special guest in the studio, as promised yesterday. Mojave County Sheriff Doug Schuster.
Well, good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
There he goes. He's going to show me up already with that voice.
Well, it's nice to be here, Paul. Thanks for having me. It's been a while.
You actually sound like a grown-up, unlike me, right?
No comment.
You're not a grown-up?
No, I'm not referring to you.
I get it. You know, one of your predecessors, your predecessor was Jim McCabe, right?
Yeah, he took over for a short period after Sheriff Sheehan retired midterm.
And he was Sheehan's undersheriff for
Correct.
A long time.
Correct.
We were just talking about that on a sidebar. But he would always come in here and say, okay, both hands on the table. and Tom had that voice.
Yeah.
Kind of like you, it was authoritative, but not as deep.
Sure.
But it had that little twang of Chicago in it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then we were talking, like I said, a sidebar. You still talk to him.
Oh, I do. You know,
quite often.
A large portion of my career was spent under Sheriff Sheehan. We became good friends over the years. And, yeah, we check in every so often. He comes back and visits probably twice a year, gets out to our shooting range and gets qualified so he can maintain his retired law enforcement seal so he can carry in any state. And, yeah, he's a dear friend of mine, and he's doing well. His family's doing well. And, I learned a lot from him, really did.
Where is he now?
He's down at Phoenix, and if I give his location, he'll kill me, so I'll just say the metro area.
I don't expect that. I definitely don't expect that, but no, he was always a good guy to have on the show. And
yeah.
What about Jim?
I haven't really had any interaction with Jim. Sorry about the phone. Let me get that turned off.
No worries.
Yeah, I haven't seen him since taking office back in 2016. I haven't talked to him or run into him.
And
so he must be doing his thing.
Something I kind of need to get out of the way. This kind of prefaces your appearance here. The reason I reached out to you in the first place was, of course, your brother who died on New Year's Eve Day.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
You want to talk about, you and him were pretty close, right?
Yeah, we were.
Your brother's first name?
My brother's name was Mike.
Mike, right.
Michael David Schuster.
Right,
and
right.
Mike and I were 16 months apart growing up. So, yeah, we were very close. And, the world is a crazy place. And, unfortunately, he was involved in a fatal car accident at the age of 57, happened up in Kingman. It was very shocking and still kind of reeling from it. You know, I cherish the great memories we had, and he was a good man.
That would be your older brother?
Yeah, he was older than me.
Yeah. Well, no, I was guessing because 57, I wouldn't guess you at, you know.
Yeah, I just turned 56, so.
I wouldn't guess you past
45?
58.
No. Whatever.
I'm kidding. So, all right, it's just tragic in that you never know. I mean, that's the last day of the year.
Right.
things like that don't happen to us.
Yeah, that's how we all look at it. And, you know, it's been a struggle. My mom lives here in Lake Havasu, a beautiful, lovely lady, and she's struggling with it, but we're a strong family and we have our faith and we get through things. What are you going to do? You move forward.
Right,
and you cherish the memories you had.
Speaking of faith, we had an interview yesterday with the Baumkirchners.
Oh, yeah.
You know the family.
Yes.
And it turns out Bowden, the 8-year-old, he's 8 now. I called him 7. He
yeah.
goes, 8, right?
He corrected you.
So this happened 5 years ago where he lost his legs because of an infection,
yes.
a staph infection, from a scrape off of a bicycle ride.
Crazy.
Right? He falls off his bike. He gets a scrape. But then the paper, I think it was the paper this morning, ran a picture of him and Corbin Carroll from behind. You can see Carroll walking out to the mound so that Bowden could throw the first pitch.
How amazing is that?
That's man, I love that story. I just keep going with that story, and the interview was very emotional for me anyway.
Sure,
I have a daughter, but I just can't imagine going through what they went through. My point is, what got them through it? Faith.
Yeah, you have to have a strong belief that there's a purpose. And I think that's what drives us all. At least that's what drives me. And, you know, you deal with adversity as it comes, and you're right. A lot of people say, well, it never happened to me. And, you know, things happen, I don't want to say for a reason, because sometimes I don't understand a lot of things.
Right,
but
right.
at the end of the day, you have to, you know, get up and push forward. And that's what we do. And that's a great story. You know, talk about going from adversity. And I understand he's walking on prosthetics. And,
yeah.
It's amazing, and God bless him, you know.
It's like the same type of prosthetics as Oscar Pistorius.
Yeah.
The blade.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and I guess he plays Little League Baseball.
Oh, good for him.
I know. I'm like, I can barely play baseball, and I have everything.
Yeah, he'd do much better than me as well.
I'm a better scorekeeper than I'm a player.
I'll announce you keep score.
Exactly.
Let them play.
Exactly. So I'm going to talk. I had a couple of community announcements, but I'll pass those up for the middle of the show. But cold cases, what comes to mind with the Mojave County Sheriff's Office lately, you guys have been breaking some cold cases, like bodies found 20, 30 years ago. How is that being done?
Well, I've told you before, Paul, it's because I'm an amazing sheriff. That's why, folks, I tease him. That's not the reason. Obviously, I have tremendous staff. What we did about 5 years ago, we opened up a cold case unit, and we actually brought in retired detectives. We have two gals from California that came over. Exceptional. They were volunteering at first. Now, they're working for me part-time. I was able to get them a little pay, but they're dogs with a bone. And they've gone through every case. They've categorized everything going back to the 60s. That's how old some of these cases are. And they've taken them one by one. They've went through to see if there's anything that can be followed up on. We are in a different period now where DNA can be captured from a lot of different things. And they blow me away, quite honestly. They have, I think, a 70% solve rate with some of these older cases. And it used to come as a surprise. Hey, they solved this. That's fantastic. Well, now it's the norm for me. Well, what are you going to solve this week? So they're doing great with that, and we're closing out a lot of cases. And the plus is we're bringing closure to the families. You know, some people have waited many, many years not knowing anything.
What case really stands out in your mind?
Well, there's a couple. The one that really stands out to me was a young gal that was recovered, I think it was in the 70s. Her remains were found off of Highway 93.
Hitchhiker.
Yeah. And no identification, obviously, at the time this occurred. And many, many years later, when we started working the case, they were able to not only identify her, but locate family and bring complete closure to that case. And they've actually tracked down on a second case. They actually identified a suspect from 25 years ago. That person was in prison. They went to interview him and pursue additional charges, and I believe he passed. I think that's how that one ended. But they solved the case nonetheless. Very proud of them. Very proud of them.
Yeah. And what you said there's numerous ways that they can retrieve DNA now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think of they always tell victims, if you can think at the time when you're being assaulted or a rape for you know, heaven's sake, to get something under your fingernails or cause the person to bleed or something. But there's other sources of DNA now?
Well,
not the source, but ways to retrieve them.
There are many different ways to retrieve them. As far as identifying remains, They can use bone marrow. There's a lot of different things that they couldn't do 15 years ago. The technology just keeps getting better and better. And the way they work these cases, it's more than obviously just the DNA. And it's not like you see on TV. It's not CSI where, you know, in an hour in a lab, this thing's solved and we're ready to go. There's a lot of work that's put in. And sometimes you submit, you know, potential DNA comes back that there's nothing on it. But they have really gotten it down to a science where they know what they're looking at. It's expensive. It's very expensive to test this stuff. So we want to make sure we're sending in good samples before we do anything. And they've had a 100% track record.
Is that one company that you're working with then?
Yeah, and we're lucky because we get a certain amount of grants each year. We budget some, but I think it's, and don't quote me, but I believe it's around $4,000 per request. So it gets pricey quick.
But what's the solve rate on that, on those then?
I think we're at 70%.
70 now?
Pretty much everything they touch, they're solving. So I told them they're not allowed to leave. They're going to work here until I'm no longer sheriff. And then they're free to...
The detectives?
Yeah, they're free to do whatever they want after that.
Who do you put on cold cases like that? I mean, it can't just be any detective, right?
No, we have, again, we have a cold case unit, and I think we have four retired homicide detectives in that unit. Two are very active. They're the ones that work these cases. They work directly with our detectives, but they're their own unit. So that's all they do. So they'll start off pulling a case back in the 70s. Well, it's not digitalized. We have several documents and reports, and it's horrible police work. I'm not going to lie. When I look at it, I just can't believe it. I can't believe that's how they did it back in the day. But nonetheless, they will not only organize it, they'll digitalize it so we have it in our system. And then they'll start following up on it. And they're just really good at what they do. And they've bought in. They're 100% on board. They love solving these things more than I do. So they're doing great.
Man, but now you have digital.
Everything's digital.
Everything leaves a footprint, doesn't it?
It really does.
So you take my phone, for example. You're looking for something.
Sure.
And I already know, delete, 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 but can you retrieve that stuff?
Yeah, no matter what you delete, if we seize your phone, we'll find what you had in there.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I do, I'm saying I in the
picture. Can I see your phone?
Yeah, sure. All you want.
No, it all comes at a price. It's getting expensive to conduct business anymore. I mean, talking about phones, we have to have a specialized software. That software is not cheap. We pay for that every year because it's vital to be able to get into phones. Think about if I had to get into someone's phone without the software, I can't get past their password.
Oh.
You know, so we have to break passwords. We have to be able to dig in and find the data that's already been deleted. Sometimes we don't get all of it, but we get a good portion of it. That's the same that holds true with computers. Any digital anything we can get into.
So even the what do they call that, the recognition?
Yeah.
They have, and I use the fingerprint.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
Especially for banking and that.
Right, right.
Can you get past that
we
too?
We can get by that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Wow. Hear that, criminals? There you go.
Unfortunately, they know.
Right. Let's go ahead and take our first break of the hour. And of course, I got to play the cliche, right? Little Bad Boys.
Oh, I like it, yeah.
Do you ever watch those shows?
No.
No? Seriously, you don't?
I don't, no.
You never did before you were a police
officer? You know, I think when I was younger, I probably watched a couple. The problem when you're an officer watching that, you critique everything. And it's, like, it's not an entertainment for me. It's actually aggravation, so I don't watch
That's
it,
no. The news for me. TV news. You know I did news.
Yeah,
TV
yeah.
news for a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially in the control room.
Uh-huh.
You're like, oh, come on. Especially weekend newscasts.
Yeah.
No, I can't do it.
Yeah, enough's enough.
Because that's like the B and the C team
exactly.
directing back there.
It's like being a chef and watching a cooking show.
Oh,
not interested.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. Except my dad always watched Emeril a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And my dad could cook like that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good for him.
But it was a Boston thing.
Yeah.
That's why. So,
yeah.
Anyway, Sheriff Doug Schuster, our guest. Give us a call, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. Make this talk radio, not just listen radio. And there's got to be better questions than what I'm asking anyway, right?
I would agree with that.
But what I was kind of alluding to is, I love this joke, and I tell it all the time on the air. For 3.5 years, you're the county's best sheriff ever.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
For the other half a year, no, you're the worst.
That's it. Election time, all of a sudden, I'm the devil. Then I'm good again.
You're the devil, like the water boy, right?
Exactly.
Sheriff Schuster, the devil. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Or give us a text. Send us a text, 928 928- 727-5566. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile. My curiosity running wild. Cruising and playing the radio. With no particular place to go.
There you go, Sheriff. We were talking about that. You were listening to Chuck Berry
listening
the other day?
Chuck Berry the other day, yep. Just had a mood.
I was so disappointed. Chuck Berry was at Harrah's.
Yeah.
And I never believed that he just went on stage, you know, you had the guys behind him. It was always a local band.
Right.
And, like, I guess Bruce Springsteen's band one time played behind Chuck Berry.
Really?
Anyway, comes on stage, plays an hour, unplugs, leaves. That's
yeah.
it. No encore, no nothing.
Really?
They're like, wow. Yeah,
yeah,
a little disappointing.
Yeah, that's surprising to hear, honestly. He seemed like an outgoing soul.
But the reason I wanted to play that song in particular, you know, driving along the
right,
highway.
Right, right.
What do you guys listen to besides, do you listen to anything besides the, you know, scanner traffic and that's going on for your agency?
No, we're not allowed to.
You're not allowed to listen to the radio?
Yeah, we have to listen only to the radio in the police cruiser, and we scan channels. I'm kidding. Of course we do.
You're the sheriff for
yeah.
crying out
loud. No, every officer, we all have, you know, radios and CD players in our cars,
yeah?
And I listen to. I'm on a country kick right now.
Are you?
Yeah,
KJJJ, right?
Yeah, I just go to. Well, I do Spotify, so I'm on Spotify, and it's the commercials that kill me.
Man, you know Steve's going to talk to you after the show.
Yeah,
right?
I listen to it as well. So I listen to them all, but yeah, we all listen to music in the car. And
right.
You do a lot of driving; it helps pass some of the time.
Tracy sends her best, by the way.
Yes, I heard. She's such
the
a
reason why I asked about cold cases is every time Anita sends out something about a cold case.
Yeah.
Broken. Tracy's all over it.
Yeah, she
know?
Is such a sweetheart.
It's great.
I was sad she wasn't in today. I wanted to see her. We'll catch her next time.
So we're broadcasting live from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. You can find City Maytag 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. And we're also brought to you by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. By Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, by Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and also A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. And there he goes, man, the one to watch. It's a Chuck Berry birthday party. It's, oh, man, I knew I was going to forget the name of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guitarist for the Rolling Stones, Keith Richards, puts on, he organizes a supergroup.
Okay.
And just for Chuck Berry's birthday, right?
Oh, that's neat.
It's Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And,
have to check it out.
And Keith says at the end of it, in their interview, so what did you think of the experience? He goes, for once in my life, I want to go back. I'm looking forward to going back and working with Mick.
Okay. That's crazy.
That's how hard it is to work with Chuck Berry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I wanted to talk about, on the subject of cold cases. As Lake Mead goes down,
yep.
More, I guess, bodies are being found, boats are being found, that sort of thing. What if they're found on the Arizona side? Does that turn into a cold case or some sort of malfeasance, possibly?
It starts with the investigation to determine if it's a homicide, is this a drowning? Normally, when we have drownings or even missing persons, that's the first step you want to look at. But yeah, you investigate it if it is a crime and determined to be a homicide. If it's on anywhere on Lake Mead, really, we're going to investigate that. But we're very fortunate, Paul. We have National Park Service up there. They do the lion's share of the work, which is very beneficial to us because we're so focused on the lake activity here in Havasu and on the Colorado River. And it's ironic you bring that up. We are very understaffed, and the reason we're understaffed on our boating program is funding. It always comes down to funding. You know this. We've talked about it for years. We are working, actually this year, through the legislature to change the formula. Let me back up here. So there's 8 counties in Arizona that receive state funding. That funding is a byproduct of boating registration to fund law enforcement programs on the water. So those 8 counties have programs that received this funding. There's a formula they use, and it's based on the amount of boat use days. How busy is your lake? Why do you need that? We're working to change the formula. If we're successful, and we'll know here in a couple months, we should be able to add a couple more deputy sheriffs to the water. So
that's, is that SLIF funding?
It's very similar. So it's,
I was going to say SLIF is from fuel tax, right?
SLIF and the other fund is LEBSF. It's the Law Enforcement Boating Safety Fund. That funds personnel. SLIF funds equipment. They both come out of the same. It used to be boat tax or fuel tax. You're right. Now it's registration.
Oh, very
boater
good.
Registration.
All right, we have a phone call.
Exciting.
Caller, yeah. You're live on Speak Out.
Good morning, Sheriff Schuster.
Morning.
Hey, wouldn't it have been kind of fun to forensically go through Jeffrey Epstein's phone? Wouldn't that have been kind of a little
oh, wow. Great question.
That is a great question.
And I have a second question, then I want to tell you why I'm asking it. And the second thing is, if you had been in charge of that whole thing, would you have released the flight logs that would have satisfied the public to know who went there or not? The reason I ask is I went down to the No Kings protest while they were setting up Saturday.
Okay.
And these people got TDS bad. And the two things I learned, three things is, one, they hit me with Epstein, which I agreed with them. But when you agree with them, these people are madder than they were before. When they start arguing, they keep arguing when you agreed with them. The second thing is, when I mentioned transitioning in kids, four of the six, they don't care. They said, that's no issue with us. We don't care about child transitioning. And the reason I'm asking about the Epstein logs, they confronted me with that. That was about the only thing I agreed with, is because public trust. Who do we trust in the public? Who do we know? And wouldn't that have ended the controversy just to release the flight logs?
I don't understand.
Would you have done that?
No, I think
would
I understand.
Would you release the flight logs if you were in charge of that investigation so people knew and it would have ended the controversy? That's what the public really wants.
No, and that's a great question. I'll say this. So having been in politics now for a couple of years, I'm in my third term. One thing I've always believed in is transparency. Yes, I would have released all the documentation. I would have released it immediately because once it becomes public, the public deserves to see it. As far as the No Kings protest, I hear what you're saying. It's pretty easy for us here in Mojave County. We're very blessed to have a strong backing in law enforcement. And, you know, they have the right to protest, and I support that. But you better not break any laws in the process. I see people across the country, you know, blocking roads, and it's not going to happen here. I can promise you that.
We loved your speech of there. I may be a little bit of a redneck when Antifa was coming out, but if you mess with something meaner than you, that we loved it and we support you. And that's all I'm going to say. I'll hang up and let you guys go on.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for reaching out. Have a great day.
All right, thank you, caller. Appreciate it. The problem. I'm probably going to get in trouble for this.
Don't do it.
The problem with the, you know me. I love trouble.
Right.
The Epstein investigation, just because a name is published,
sure,
doesn't mean that he went to the island or had that type of connection with that.
Agreed.
That's the problem with that investigation.
Sure. Well, and when you break it down, Paul, the whole point of the investigation should be based on what Epstein did. That's what caused this to begin with. If there's others involved, of course they're party to it, and they should be named. But I agree, there's so much information there. But I don't see the harm in releasing information because most people have a lot of common sense, and they, all right, so-and-so's name's on the list. Does that mean they did anything wrong?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I've met people that I probably wouldn't want to be affiliated with 10 years down the road, but it doesn't mean I did anything wrong. So I see what you're saying.
Like the prince that's been deprinced, right?
Yeah.
It's not William. It's I can't remember his name.
Yeah. He looks like, I'll know. I won't know. I don't know.
Anyway, how many thousands of contacts he had with him,
sure.
Right? Trump was like 40.
Right.
And if they had anything on Trump, don't you think the Biden Justice Department would have found something already?
Sure. Well, here's what I think. I think the whole thing is disgusting. I hate the way that our country has evolved to what it is today.
Right.
Common sense is out the window. You know, right is right and wrong is wrong. And I'm a staunch Republican. But I still service Republicans, Democrats, independents. I service everybody. So I look at the information presented, just like the caller said. He agrees with some of the things they're saying, but that's not good enough. Okay, they're going to continue to push.
Right.
I can't understand that. You know, if you bring a good point to me, Paul, and I was opposed to it, and you explained it, and it makes sense, I'll see eye to eye with you. I don't understand because I have a letter next to my name. I can't agree with you.
Well, that kind of happened this morning on Common Ground. You know, one of the hosts came out and told me, man, I'm starting to double think my my thoughts on term limits.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
And I agree, but okay, now let's get to the subject of pedophilia. This is a tough one.
Okay.
But it's increasing in this county as far as I can see. Am I right?
I think it's been in this county and every county in the country for a long, long time. We're just now seeing more attention brought to it. And I'll give you an example. We have been running specific details. About a month ago, we did one up in Bullhead.
Really?
We started on a Friday night. We had officers posing as underage children, and within minutes.
Online?
Online. And what's crazy is we brought in some experts from the FBI. They do this all the time. There are websites, the dark web, that I've never seen, heard. It's insane how quickly it's like a feeding frenzy for these people. So we did this detail on a Friday night. I think we arrested 14 people in 2 days.
Whoa.
Yeah, and we're going to continue to do this. It's very important to me. It's shocking. It's shocking to see how many people are and we even had one individual, I said, in talking with him, he said, I knew it was a sting. I knew it. But I was driven anyway. That's the compulsion with this. It's disgusting, and it unfortunately happens, and we're going to do everything in our power to take these people off the street.
Has it gotten worse, in your opinion, with the loosening up of the border, you know, during the last administration? And that, I mean, it said that there were children that showed up with people who claimed that they were relatives, but they weren't,
sure.
And that, and they separated right away and went off on their own or whatever.
Sure.
Do you think that's part of it?
I haven't seen it. I mean, we hear all these things, and I stay in contact with our border sheriffs. They're dear friends of mine, and they've had some issues, but for us, we haven't seen what's going on, but we know it's happening. So I guess, again, we're lucky to live in Mojave County. Even the 14 arrests or 12 arrests I was talking about, no illegal aliens. No one was involved. These are individuals that live right here in Mojave County.
Wow.
And all I can tell you is we're going to continue to take a zero-tolerance stance, and we're going to do these every so often. And
so that's Bullhead, Fort Mojave, Mojave Valley, or just Bullhead City?
Well, that was the detail was run in Bullhead City, but we had them coming from Kingman. We had them coming from Havasu. We had one coming from Scottsdale. Now, he never showed up, but
yeah,
that was what he said he was going to do. So, and we've done this in the past, and it seems like every time we do it, I'm shocked by the numbers.
Is there a particular age group?
You know,
is it all men?
It's all men. The age group that I'm seeing is under 30, probably 80%, and then over 50, the other 20%.
Oh,
a lot of
goodness.
Young people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whew. I got to take a break on this.
Yeah.
All right. That's there's a text question that just came in, so let's forego the break.
Okay.
I do need to kind of pre-read this a little bit. Question for the sheriff. Why do we not have DUI checkpoints during big events in town and holidays? That's a really good question, actually.
Yeah, that's a great question. We used to routinely run checkpoints. The law is a little difficult to work around sometimes. We used to be able to do it. I think there's been a law change that makes it a little harder. But, yes, they can be done. And I think what it comes down to is staffing. When we did the checkpoints years ago, we were able to bring in Phoenix Motors, and we were able to beef up the staffing in the area. And I think when you are just trying to get through your shifts and staffing is a little bit lower, it's harder to do. But I would anticipate you'll see some in the future. We do them on the water all the time.
Wow. Now, yeah, I want to talk about that when we come back. Your experience there as a, what do they call them, fish caps? That's what Lanny used to call them.
Oh, fish caps?
You know Lanny Lloyd?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Lanny called them fish caps.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we'll talk about your experience there. And then how to detect, I don't know if they have a blood test for it or if it's a sobriety test like you do for DUI, but
sure.
OUI and the THC user.
Sure.
You know, and talk about that a little bit, too. I'm trying to get on the inside to get some, you know, secrets in that. Right?
Yeah, I see that. Okay, we'll talk about it.
Kidding. Back with more in a moment. We're with Sheriff Doug Schuster from Mojave County, and we'll return on Speak Out in a moment. 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. Great participation so far. We appreciate it by phone or by text, 928-727-5566. Stay with us. Here's some Doobies. Yeah, there's only certain songs, Sheriff Schuster, that I'll fade out of and then come back into.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, it's that riff.
Yeah.
It's so recognizable, yeah. You know. What are you going to do? All right, don't forget, Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management. Also, check this out, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center.
Yeah?
Yeah, they stayed on.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Also, The Chair by Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College. Shooter's Outpost. Have you been there?
No.
Oh, man. I used to ask Sam, you know, have you sold the store?
Yeah.
Well, he sold it, and it's very nice.
He did sell it. I didn't know.
It's Shooter's Outpost now.
Okay.
The guy named John owns it, and it's pretty cool.
I'll have to check it out.
It's very, very cool. Solar Power by Esme Electric. Also, Dorita's Place and Legacy Rehab and Care. We got about, maybe 15 minutes.
Sounds good. Hey, I was going to say,
right?
It does. I was going to say, I want to thank your callers, the text. It makes the hour enjoyable. I mean, I love coming on here, but I love the interaction with the public and great time to ask your questions. So thank you. Thank you for reaching out. Call in.
That's a backhanded dig to where I don't have to listen to his questions.
That's what I was saying. Look, I'm so sick of hearing Paul talk that I want somebody else to call in. That's what I want.
That's awesome.
Oh, we're doing
that
great.
That is awesome.
We're doing good.
Another question for the sheriff. That's the previous one. Yeah, way to go, LaVoie. All right. For sheriff, curious as to why is it we can't get the sheriff's department to support noise ordinances that are constantly broken by, say, trash trucks on a Saturday morning at 5 o'clock in the county, and let them figure it out and have the ordinance changed? I don't know what that means, but is that a problem that you're getting from callers?
We do get complaints on noise, you know, especially late at night, and we respond to every complaint. If we verify that there is a violation, normally we would cite that violation or at least give a warning, say if it happens again, you're going to get a citation. If there is something like that was mentioned, a trash truck running up and down the road, they have a responsibility. That could be something where we need to talk to the company and see if we could change hours. I don't see us citing that every time we get a call for there. We'd really hamper all sorts of operations. But the bottom line is, yeah, if people are making excessive noise, call us. And if we go out there and deem that's the case, we will have it shut down and issue citations if it continues.
Is that the magic hour, though, 5 a.m.?
I'd have to look at the ordinance. I believe it's I don't know the starting time. I know the evening time. I believe it's 11 o'clock at night on the weekends and 10 during the week. But I haven't enforced that in a long time. I know my staff is very well versed on our ordinances. But I'll take a look at it. It's a good question. I'll take a look at it and see what we could do to resolve some of that. Because that's the whole job as sheriff, to tell you the truth. I try and resolve issues. You can write tickets all day long, but if it doesn't fix the problem. So let me take a peek at the noise ordinance and see what we can do.
You see, starting time is 7 a.m. The ordinance is 2015-05.
Yeah.
So well,
I know that it's a county ordinance, of course, and if it's 7 a.m., it's something that we'll address.
Wow.
I'm hoping that the texter has called in to file a report so we have something to look at.
Sure.
And if not, please do so. And if it's repetitive, if it's the same thing with a trash truck or whatever it is, let us know so we can try and abate that.
All right, moving on.
How's that? Yeah.
You're formerly a boating patrol officer.
Correct, yes.
Or deputy.
Yeah.
Do you miss it?
No.
Not at all.
So, Paul, I spent close to 20 years on the water.
Yeah, but you were there because you liked it.
Well, I was there because I liked it in the beginning, okay? So I was very fortunate in my career. I promoted very early and ended up becoming the boating safety supervisor. And I did that for close to 15 years.
Wow.
And the heat and the elements and the dealing with the crowds and the aggravation gets old quick. So it went from liking it to not enjoying it. And I remember many times asking my superiors, look, I need a break. I want to go somewhere else. Can I get out of this and do something else? And the answer I got was, we're a small agency. We bought you the books. We sent you to school. You're the guy. So I got stuck doing it, and it was an honor, and I think we did a great job on the water. But, yeah, I don't see myself going boating again for law enforcement purposes.
But you have a boat.
No, I don't have
a boat. Oh, you do not?
No.
Oh, that surprises me.
And I love boating. Don't get me wrong. And I love fishing, and maybe one day I'll get a boat. But I'll be the guy out there when the crowds are low. I'll be tucked away in a cove somewhere and just minding my own business, enjoying the day.
Yeah, I get out there I took a boating course with my father very young. I think before I could drive.
That's great.
But you're out there and you see what they're doing. These are, you know, grown adults. Hey, don't you know you can't do that?
Right.
Or somebody's broken down. There's an assist law, right?
Sure.
You have to stop and at least ask them, hey, can I get you some help?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's hard when you are in law enforcement for a long time. I'll give you an example.
I bet.
I go on vacation with my wife, and we're driving down the road, and this is what she gets to hear. Well, that guy's got expired tags. That guy didn't use his blinker. If I sit on the beach, that guy's making a wake. That guy's traveling contrary to navigation. It's ingrained in your head, and you want to let it go, but it just pops in your head. You're just so used to looking for things all the time.
Is that like a holding penalty in football? There's always a hold on every play?
Oh, yeah, if you wanted to. There's a lot of holding penalties, that's for sure.
That's funny. We were talking about Colorado City off the air.
Yeah, yeah.
You said, I wouldn't recognize it now?
You wouldn't recognize it. They've come a long way. I know we've talked in years past about the problems we had going back many, many years.
The Barlows, right?
Yeah, there was a polygamist area, mm-hmm. and they had a lot of issues. The Marshalls had problems, and when I say Marshalls, that town, Colorado City, is incorporated, so they have their own police force, and they call them Marshalls. And so we had issues with the Marshalls office. They actually got a court sanction telling them what they were going to do. They're put on probation for doing things incorrectly. And I will say that the new chief up there, he's been there a while, is doing a really good job. And we got good marshals over there now. When I say you wouldn't recognize it, Paul, this was a very almost Amish-type community. That when you drive in there, the street's closed to you. They don't want you there. Now they have breweries. They've got smoke shops. They're welcoming to the outside world. I think that element is gone. Now, they went somewhere. They didn't disappear, but maybe
Texas.
Down to Texas or whatever. But, yeah that and it's beautiful up there. Have you ever been up there?
No, I have not. I've been to Washington County.
Okay.
But I've never taken the turnoff into Colorado City.
You really should check it out sometime. It's almost jaw-dropping. You come over a ridge into Colorado City and the Red Mountains, and it's a very, very pretty place.
It said from Supervisor Lingenfelter said on this show, it's becoming the Sedona of Mojave County.
Yeah. I can see that. It's a very, not to mention the temperature drop. Even in the summer, I can go up there and feel comfortable. Whereas here, you're just, do I have to leave my car? I'm already sweating and I'm in air conditioning.
Yeah, so. But isn't Kingman kind of like Four Seasons?
Kingman's still, excuse me, I just had a Peter Brady moment. Kingman is,
I love that.
When it's time to cheer.
Yeah, I do it all the time, trust me.
No, Kingman, I mean, they're cooler than us, but even in the summer, they're hot. I mean, it gets hot up there.
Oh, I know. I tell people that, you know, we're going to the Wallapies to cool off, and I'm like, in July?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you get high enough.
Maybe
yeah.
in the morning.
Yeah.
Right.
Get high enough.
So speaking of high.
Okay.
To driving high. We hear about it.
Don't do it.
On the PSAs and that.
We frown on it.
I understand that part. I get that.
Yeah.
Especially the different strains and the more legal it is, the more lethal it seems like it is.
Sure.
So at least to those people who have tried it and have told me, right?
Right, right.
How do you detect that though? You can't do a breathalyzer, can you?
No, there's a blood test we can do that will tell us the amount of substance in the system, and there's a law now that kind of like a above or below law. If it's above a certain amount, then you're deemed to be impaired. But it starts with impairment in operation. It starts with impairment during contact. It's all about impairment. It is what you took, whether it's alcohol and or drugs, impacting your ability to safely operate the vehicle or watercraft you're operating. And so we start with the stringent tests. We, you know, everyone's seen the battery of tests that are done on the roadway, the field sobriety tests. We have them on the water, too. They're just modified because you don't want to do a walk and turn. I remember years ago I had to laugh at a deputy on the radio. And this was before I was sheriff, so I could tell the story. He got in a lot of trouble because they asked the question, how can you tell if they're drunk? And he said, we do the walk and turn. If they can't walk on water, they're drunk. Well, yeah, it was an odd way of putting it. So that didn't fare well for him. But no, every test on the boat is modified. They're all in a seated position. And of course we have intoxilizers. You have to be able to articulate why you believe the person's impaired. Sometimes you know. You've dealt with that 3-0 who just immediately, strikes you as being liquored.
Did you call him a 3-0?
Yeah, 3-0.
That's high. That's way up.
I had a 4.6. That should be lethal, but it had him walking around. And yeah, it's unfortunate. I will say this. we have done, and when I say we, I'm talking about law enforcement in this county. We aren't getting the DUIs and the OUIs we used to get. When I started back in 1991 on the boats, it was one out of every four stops we were able to make, because we're usually responding to calls, was an impaired driver. 25%.
That's a lot.
Now we're stopping close to 300 boats to find that one.
So, no kidding.
Yeah, so we have done a tremendous job, and it's simple. Enjoy the lake. Go have fun. But have a designated operator make it home safe.
Yeah, make friends with some nerd that doesn't drink,
there
like
you
me,
go.
You know?
Hire a captain. They'll drive you around.
Exactly.
Just don't call me. I'm not driving any
around. Well, what's the telltale sign when they're on the road? I know you don't want to give away too many trade secrets.
They're not trade secrets. It's very obvious.
Because I have lane centering in my vehicle now.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a moving violation, that's an indicator. Doesn't mean that the person's impaired. They might have been changing the radio. They might have been having a bite of their sandwich, talking on the phone, which obviously we don't want them doing. But something shifted their attention where they crossed center, they crossed the fog line. There's your moving violation. That's the first step. When you walk to the vehicle, next step is, well, a lot of little indicators we're not going to get into, but the next step is, do I smell alcohol?
Ah.
Is the person slurring his words? Is he having difficulty following my instructions? Is he getting the proper documentation in a reasonable time? The thing with impairment, it slows reaction time. So when you see somebody moving at a slower pace and they're not doing things that you and I would normally do, that's another clue that they might be impaired.
Same with pot then?
Yeah, pot's the same. You're looking for any type of impairment. It's not a matter of, hey, I smoked a joint yesterday. Well, you're under arrest. Let's go. I have to be able to articulate, this person was impaired, you should not have been driving, and here's why.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, the person that buys from a dispensary, let's say, when are they allowed to use that? I've seen people unpack in the parking lot.
Yeah.
You know, that's not legal, is it?
No, they can't do
that's
it.
That's like opening a beer.
Yeah, they can't do it in the public. If they are and they get caught, they're going to be charged. You know, they're allowed to do
it.
You're
not supposed to smoke in public then?
You can't smoke in public.
Okay.
No. So if you buy the stuff and you take it home, you can do whatever you want. You just have to know where you're allowed to do it. And obviously, yes, we're going to go after everybody that's impaired, but the more important part is, don't do it. I'm telling your listeners right now, it's not worth it. You know, it's not just you. You could kill a family of 3, 5, 10 people. It's not worth it and everyone knows when they're impaired. They all know it.
Sure.
You're feeling that buzz or whatever you want to call it. That's where you have to learn to say, enough, I'm not doing it. And we're in a world where you could take an Uber, you can grab a taxi, you can get one of the shuttles. It's very simple. Leave your car, get it in the morning.
It's funny you say that because there's a public service announcement that says that.
Yeah.
We all know you're impaired. Don't you know?
Yeah. And it's very true. And I mean, I'm not a big drinker, but I do know if I have a couple beers, I'll know when I'm starting to feel buzzed, and there's no way I'm getting in a car.
Right. Especially you.
Well, even if I wasn't the sheriff, I don't want to put anybody else at risk, and it's not worth it to me.
Right. I was going to talk about high profile cases and that, like the, you know, Savannah Guthrie's.
Yeah,
mom,
yeah.
But why get into that?
Yeah, it's too much to
unpack. Are you friends with that sheriff though?
No,
not at all.
No, he. Real quick,
Pima,
I'll just
is that Pima?
You, that's Pima County, and nothing against him. I don't know him. We have a sheriff's association. There's 15 sheriffs in Arizona. 2 elected not to participate. They don't see things the way we see them. So we're a very strong association. Chris Nanos is not part of that association.
Oh, so he's one of them. Okay.
Yeah, he's not part of our association. Oh. So he's one of the two
of the
that
two,
doesn't
yeah.
want to be involved, and
wow.
I'm fine with that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Sheriff Doug Schuster.
Pleasure.
I wasn't expecting that answer.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, no, that's a pleasure.
But no, I just think, I mean, this is my opinion. If you're not going to rely on the Justice Department or the FBI
right.
for evidence,
right.
Really?
No
you
room.
Can do it better than them?
I'll just say this. There's no room for bravado and ego in this job.
I got you.
If you have a resource, you take advantage of that resource.
Right.
That's all I'm going
to
say.
Always great to have you on the show.
Pleasure, Paul.
It's
Thank
fantastic.
You
fantastic. All right. We'll make it a couple months next time. How's that?
Sounds good. Know where I'm going now?
Back to work.
I'm taking my staff to Golden Phoenix for lunch. I love it over there. Going to have some... Have some lunch.
So you're not getting any chicken?
No chicken.
We there was a while there, Doug and I would meet up at a, what is that chicken
Crispy
called?
Crunchy.
Crispy Crunchy
yeah,
chicken.
Yeah, I loved it.
I love that
I
place.
Miss it.
Going on Joy Lane.
Yeah, that's where I have to go now.
You don't eat it anymore?
Well, they took the one in Havasu away.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, that's where I went probably once a week.
Right. I bet.
Can't you tell?
Thanks, Doug. We appreciate it.
Good
back with more in a moment. Stay with us. I'll have a final shot when we come back. Welcome back to Speak Out. As far as tomorrow's show goes, it's April Fool's, so you never know. But Dan De Los Santos doesn't strike me as the April Fool's type. He posted on Facebook on the Havasu Pioneers radio page. Of course, it's the Havasu Pioneers tomorrow, the first Wednesday of the month. Guest speakers, as Dan calls them, our guest will be Pioneer family member Joe Honeycutt. Joe will be sharing some great insight on his father and the Holly Development Company that helped populate Lake Havasu City in the early years. Also going to remind people this Saturday at Blonzy's is Mustangs versus Camaros. Free car show, 9 a.m. All proceeds go to the Desert Hills Fire Department. All right, Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News. We'll see you on the Havasu Pioneers radio show tomorrow.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.